makes you wish you had a trumpet, doesn't it? And you were standing next to a saxophone player.
Do you know I played saxophone, Wolf?
No way,
Mitch.
Seriously?
Yeah, I was in marching band for 8 years. High school and college. Not 8 years of college.
I was going to say, oh my goodness. Wow.
I mean, I wear a backpack every day that says marching band on the back of it, but nobody stares at my backpack, obviously.
Man, I did not know that about you, Mitch. That's very cool. You still pick it up from time to time and march around the compound?
If I owned one, yeah.
Why do you not own one? You were in the marching band.
Wolf, do you understand the income of a guy who gets... Yeah.
Come on, man.
Look, if I had a car sponsorship, maybe things would be different, but I don't.
Doug Lisa will work on that for you.
I'll move on. Did you know, and I'm going to say the answer's no, but I'm going to take a guess.
Okay, no.
Did you know, only in the time you were there, not since you've left, but did you know in your time in Cleveland that Bill Belichick had a personality?
No. No, I did not.
We have learned since then some from the Bon Jovi things, things that he's done. I'll never forget, gosh, this was probably 15 years ago. I'll never forget watching watching the Orange Bowl one New Year's Day. And they put a camera on a booth, and it was the first wife of the owner of the Patriots, Robert Kraft.
Okay.
And Robert Kraft.
Yeah.
It was Bill Belichick and his soon-to-be second wife all in a suite. And they put him on television, and all of a sudden Bill points at the television to show everybody in the suite, look, we're on television, and then turned and waved. And I'm like,
Come on, wait a minute,
what is that?
Yes.
Because Bill Belichick's been on television almost every day for 25 years, and
yes,
all of a sudden now he's freaking out. Well, Cliff was asked about the Bill that no one sees because of the time that Cliff Kingsbury spent as both a player and a quality control coach.
I think he's a guy that when you get to know the personality of Bill and not Coach Belichick, if you will, he's funny. He's very sharp. He wants to help people develop as coaches and players, and he wants people to further develop in their careers post-football. And you definitely see that come across when you actually get him out of the office and get to know him a little bit.
So he says there's Coach Belichick and there's Bill.
Yeah. No, I think he's right. Obviously, he's got to be, right? We've seen him show up at parties, costume parties, Halloween parties, dressed as a pirate. I have to tell you right now, the thought of seeing Coach dressed up like a pirate is stunning to me. Like, that would never in a million years happen, my friends. Not only that, too, though, but Bon Jovi is his friend. I mean, they're close. They're good buddies. And it's not just Bon Jovi. There's other people that have gravitated towards Bill Belichick. Other people that are friends of Bill Belichick. And you have to wonder why that is. How is that possible? He's got to have Tony La Russa. Remember Tony La Russa? What he told us?
Oh, yeah.
Sitting down, having dinner with Bill Belichick. What an awesome conversation they had. How fascinating. Tony La Russa is good friends with Bill Belichick. He's got to have a personal side. I just never saw it. I never saw it, and I've never seen it since. I never saw it when I was a player at Cleveland, the 2 years that I was there, and I've never seen it since.
Tony said to come on down. I figure I'm sitting in the stands. He walks me down to the dugout. So we're sitting in the dugout, standing in the dugout, and he's like taking me through the game, you know, going through all the things he's doing.
That was the first time I think I've heard Coach tell a story.
Was when he was on our show? That was,
I'm trying to think, Doug Lisa. Obviously, I have a hard time understanding what I had for dinner last night, my friends. But I can tell you, I don't know if I recall ever Bill Belichick telling a story. And that's what he did when he came on and joined us, talking and telling a story. Something that it's just, I learned a lot from Bill Belichick, ladies and gentlemen. I really did. But most of it was already in existence, so to speak. He just cemented a lot of my beliefs. A very matter-of-fact approach to what you do is something that I always had to do.
It's kind of neat that you just said that because Cliff Kingsbury, every Monday following Cardinals football, he joins Bickley and Murata at about 12:15. But they, because of a Thursday night game and because of the change in practice schedule, the media assignments were kind of a little different this week. So yesterday he was on with Burns and Gambo, and he was asked his biggest takeaway in the time of Belichick as his head coach, both player and coach, that he uses now as a head coach.
More than anything, the importance of situational football. I mean, it was week in, week out, we'd have these walkthroughs, and he'd be, you know, having these situations occur that you'd never think would happen in a million years, and sure enough, 3 weeks later, it would pop up, and you were always prepared on those Patriot teams for any situation that could arise in a game, and you didn't panic. You executed at a high level because of that, and that was probably the number one thing that I remember about, you know, being there.
That was one of the things that I remember about Bill Belichick is the attention to detail. No doubt about it. The attention to detail was extreme. I had never experienced it. He would walk into a meeting room from time to time, flip the lights on as you were watching film, and he would remind you that in certain down and distances, certain situations, if in fact we're going to go with this personnel group, this is what they're going to do. I mean, you're just come walking in and saying, this is what you need to be prepared for. And sure enough, more times than not, if it didn't happen, it didn't always happen. He wasn't perfect. But the fact that he had such this incredible attention to detail, I'll never forget that. I would say, number one, though, the matter-of-fact approach. In other words, do your job. Do your job. That was the number one thing that I learned from him. Distractions are the enemy of intent. Distractions are the enemy of intent. Whatever it is you intend to do, don't let yourself be distracted, Basin audience. How about that? You apply that to your life.
Listening to you talk about the situation, both Cliff saying situational football, you talking about the extreme attention to detail. It's funny, Cliff has, in a lot of areas, and I'm one of the people that have disagreed with a lot of late game decisions that Cliff has had, not that Cliff cares, but Cliff, when he's had something that a lot of people disagreed with him on, he stuck to his gun, said, you know, I did what I like. Yeah. However, when he was asked by Burns and Gambo, are you still learning late game situations? He readily admitted the answer is yes.
Yeah, every game presents a new learning experience when you're only in year two and trying to navigate this league and you know, build this organization. And so I definitely try to learn from each and every experience and trying to get better for the next time it arises.
Responsibility right there. Responsibility is what I hear when I hear Cliff Kingsbury say that. That and the fact that humility is a wonderful master, my friends. But I will tell you, that's the fourth thing that I took away from Bill Belichick. Motivation is your responsibility. You know, think about that right now. Think about our lives, my brothers. Think about whatever it is that you may do right now. Motivation is your responsibility. It's so simple. It seems so simple. But you're the one that's got to get yourself going, not somebody else. Four big takeaways that I won't soon forget about Bill Belichick.
Coming up next.
We're excited about the signing, first and foremost.
We'll tell you about that signing coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Arizona's Sports Station.
We talked about playing a gender-free football, with every man being a star in his role.
Lob pass near side, picked off by Baker. The highest paid safety in the game. Maybe the best safety in the game.
This guy strikes like a cobra.
Throws it deep far side into the end zone. It is picked off by Patrick Peterson. Quick throw over the middle. Picked off. It's intercepted at the 40-yard line. Isaiah Simmons has it.
When you watch the way they're playing, the physicality, the way they're flying around in the football and having fun doing so, it's a fun culture to be around.
Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals. Now.
And specifically that Cardinals defense. Good morning, it's Doug and Wolf. We're live in the Auction Community Studios this morning. This is pretty cool. Bobby Hurley's going to join us today at 8:45. And they have a game tomorrow against Rhode Island. Rhode Island's supposed to be in a different tournament in the same location. And they grabbed him and said, hey, why don't you come to this tournament? And they, oh, it's in the same building? Okay. So they're now playing ASU tomorrow, 5 o'clock. You can hear that game on ESPN 620 AM, and Bobby Hurley's going to join us today and talk about it. Because in a sense, ASU got on a plane yesterday not knowing for sure which tournament and who opponents they had.
It's just incredible.
It is crazy.
What are the odds of that?
And then the irony is he used to be an assistant at Rhode Island. His brother used to be the head coach of Rhode Island, and his brother left and took the UConn job. But it's kind of an interesting story. When and they get to play Villanova on Friday, then they turn around. It might be Thursday. Then they turn around and they got a home game Sunday. So they got a lot going on this weekend. So we'll talk to Bobby Hurley coming up at 8:45 today. Here's Cliff Kingsbury on signing a longtime Cincinnati Bengal, Domata Peko.
We're excited about the signing, first and foremost. VJ has some history there. You know, I've only met him today, but have heard great things about his attitude, his energy. And he's a guy who's played at a high level in this league for a long time. So we're hopeful. We'll see how he looks this week and see kind of what he can handle. And we're hopeful that he can contribute at some point moving forward.
Listen, anytime you can get a guy that has played 15 seasons in the National Football League and plug him into your defensive line rotation right now, that's a big deal. There's no doubt about it. It's interesting because I was actually over there doing the Cliff Kingsbury show, right? Paul Calvisi and myself doing it over there at the facility. And I walked out and there was Domata Peko. He was sitting on the wall. He was just sitting on the wall right there. And I said, hey, what's going on? And he was, this big smile came on his face, Doug Lease, and he was one of the nicest guys you could possibly ever want to meet. Now, again, it's not like I sat there and had a conversation with him. I did not. But he was so friendly. And I just, okay, I'll see you, you know.
Now, in this COVID world, you didn't put his helmet on.
No, I did not. Like, as a matter
like
of fact,
Dwight
I did not put the helmet on. But you know what? Honestly, anytime you can bring a guy that is that experienced into the fold, and especially when you're talking about the defensive line and the situation of the defensive line for the Arizona Cardinals right now, it is ground zero, ladies and gentlemen. Think about this. Five, their top five defensive linemen on injured reserve. Top five. That's a rotation in a game. That's what you play a game with. Five guys. Top five guys are on. I mean, when you talk about a room that has been decimated, think of the defensive line for the Arizona Cardinals. Top five guys on injured reserve.
And I hope we do. I think we do, but feel free to rip us on Twitter at DougAndWolf987. Do a good job of phrasing up a signing like this. We're not trying to act like that Peko is a Hall of Famer that's just walking around the street and 31 other general managers don't realize it. It's just the fact that where you are right now, Peko is a significant upgrade and a dramatic help, and it's hard to find people like that. It doesn't mean Peko's going to come in and get five sacks, but where they are, he helps improve the room, and isn't that exactly what they need to do?
Yes. Players know the meaning of players, my friends. Players know the import of players, and the reason why they do is because they work with other players. Go figure. Watch other players on tape. They do it every day. And they see their other players compete, and they know that these players go out and help them win games. Players know players. It's the reason why. You're never going to say, you know what, we're in this position, we're playing this way because of injuries. No player will ever say that. And it's out of respect to the guys that are actually filling in. No player will ever say it. And if he does, he's probably a pariah in the locker room.
Here's Jordan Hicks on this exact topic, and I do not think he will use the word pariah when he's done talking.
Third down, definitely, especially with Chandler on third down. And then with Corey, man, it's tough. You know, he's such a staple on this defense and somebody that you can depend on. So it's part of the game. It sucks. You know, every team I've been on has dealt with it. I've been in those positions before, so it's part of the game. But at the end of the day, it's plug and play, and you know, especially first and second down, we've got to win with the guys that we have on the team. So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's about us.
Yeah, a true player is never going to accept the team struggling because of injuries. It's just something you don't do. It's a next man up philosophy. They all know how injuries can put a unit, though, behind the eight ball. The sure sign you don't know what you're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is to ignore the injuries that have happened to a team and act like the unit should continue to play just as they always have played, regardless of who is in the game. There's a reason why there's a depth chart, ladies and gentlemen. Starters are really good. Your starters, why do you think there are starters and backups? And I was a backup, okay? Because the starter was better than me. Earl Farrell was better than I was. Why would you put me into the game? If you have a room that is absolutely decimated by injury, if you have a room that is decimated, like, oh, I don't know, you lose your top five defensive linemen, that is going to impact how your defense plays. That's not an excuse, ladies and gentlemen. That's a fact. That's a reason. Why do you think that is? Because the starters are better than the backups. It's the obvious answer. It's just reality is what it is.
But I do believe different coaches do a better job than others of creating the true next man up culture. You know, not everybody says it, but the years of Bruce Arians, it was really a, hey, I don't care. You're a pro, do it. And everybody, I know every coach says that, but there was real accountability there.
I absolutely, you're so right about that. You're so right about that. But I guarantee you when B.A. was sitting there in the room with his coaches, they were like, oh my goodness, what are we gonna do? B.A. included. Because that's the reality of it all. They know and understand. But you can't come out and say that, yeah, you're right. We're in big trouble right now. Everybody run. Right? You can't. Of course not. Can you imagine if a head coach came out and said, I could tell you right now, I have no confidence in the guys we're running out there because we have been decimated by injury. It's just like the San Francisco 49ers. What an incredible job Kyle Shanahan has truly done with that team. But they're 4-6, and they're losing games, and it's because of the injuries.
It is amazing. I mean, I am totally on board with Stefanski of the Browns, with Frank Reich of the Colts as a two-man race for Coach of the Year. But we don't talk enough about the Shanahans of the world that you're one game below 500 with those injuries. I mean, that's crazy how well that he is doing. By the way, since you're talking about, hey, you're a starter for a reason, one thing to talk about then specifically is a guy who's not a starter and does appear like he might become one. Here's Cliff Kingsbury yesterday with Burns and Gambo on the continuing progress of the first round pick.
We've been really proud of how he's kind of dealt throughout this entire season. We wanted to have a plan in place. Knowing he didn't have an off season, knowing you know he didn't have any preseason games to try and let it build throughout organically and put him in positions that he could be successful and have success early, and we've you know gotten more and more plays as the year has gone on, and he's done a tremendous job of building each week. And you know the other night against Seattle, I thought he played an outstanding game. He was all over the field, and even when he makes a mistake at this point, he has such great athleticism that he can cover a lot of things up, and I just think he'll continue to get better, and it's exciting to watch.
Isaiah Simmons is an alien. That's what he is. Guy actually played so well in this last game right now, played so well against Seattle, led the team in tackles, of course, was all over the field. I like the fact that he continues to show that he's going to stick his face into the fan, into the fire. I love that part of it. And if you tell me that he continues to develop that part of his game, I'm telling you, this guy is going to be a great player. I don't know how quickly that's going to happen, but he's on track right now based on what I saw on the tape. This is a young guy that is starting to develop. And the juice that we saw in the Seattle game, I expect to continue in the second half of the season.
Well, we've got a lot coming up for you at 7:30, 7:40, 8:30, 8:40. And the reason why I'm giving you all of those times, the virtual tailgate is coming up, presented by Four Peaks. So if you have texted GATE to 620-620, I might be calling your name. But if that person doesn't call, for those of you that are listening now, keep listening through 740, and you can steal a grill. For a $700 grill can be yours. And with Thanksgiving, we're doubling it up. We're going to do it again today at 8:30 and 8:40. Up next, a question that the rest of the NFL has to answer regarding the NFC West. Who's scarier, Cardinals, Seahawks, Rams? It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
the Arizona Sports Virtual Tailgate. Virtual Tailgate. It's your cue to call.
Sorry, I was just laughing about something. It's time! If I call your name, you've got 10 minutes to call in, and you could win a $700 barbecue grill presented by Four Peaks Brewing Company for our Arizona Sports Virtual Tailgate. And we go to the west side, Josh Harrison from Glendale. The clock starts now.
602-260-9870.
If Josh Harrison calls within the next 10 minutes, then Josh will win a $700 barbecue grill. He will win a brand new custom Arizona Sports cornhole set, and he'll get an exclusive tailgate experience in which he joins us for the ultimate virtual tailgate coming up for the Cardinals game against New England. That can all be his. But if Josh does not call 602-260-9870 in 10 minutes, you can call in and steal Josh's grill. Paul, if you remember, remind me in July of 2021 to tell you the Salem witch trial, Southern Virginia story.
Can't wait. Let me mark that down over here. Yeah, I'm Bart Scott. Can't wait for that, Doug.
Something just happened that I found very humorous, and that's why I was late for a second coming back.
Kind of like the Sicilian, Paul.
It is 10 times worse, I think, because there's a difference between American history and just being confused on sports every now and then. I think Lewis Riddick is right, and the world saw it last night.
I think it makes them a definite NFC title contender because they can play many different styles. They have guys who are shutdown type of guys on the defensive side with Jalen Ramsey. They can play zone coverage with good eye discipline and good vision on the quarterback and intercept the ball and turn it over. Look, Aaron Donald wasn't even a factor tonight. You didn't even really hear his name, and yet they were still able to come up with big plays and turnovers, which is something that Sean McVay wanted them to do.
Now, I wouldn't go so far to say he wasn't a factor, but he wasn't at the level of an Aaron Donald factor. But I hear him, and I'm looking around the rest of the NFC. You know the Saints are good. They're legit, but they don't have Drew Brees for a while. But there are three going to be battle-tested teams because I don't think anybody's going to pass the Cardinals. Even if they get in as the 7 seed, they still might be a 10-11 win 7 seed that's there. If this happens, it's hard-pressed to say the Super Bowl in Tampa won't have an NFC West team in it.
I tell you, the only reason Tampa really got a touchdown and a field goal in the second half was because of the Jared Goff interceptions. You could argue they weren't putting together long drives. They were not putting together scoring drives in that second half. And if not for the turnovers by Jared Goff, they don't get on the scoreboard in the second half, even with all the weapons they have at receiver, even with Tom Brady. And the fact they did a good job keeping Aaron Donald out of the backfield and he wasn't the typical wrecking ball. Jared Goff and that Rams offense. I mean, when he gets all those receivers involved and you saw double-digit catch games for Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp and he's getting Cam Akers involved and we know they have Higbee, the tight end. He has weapons, and when he's letting it come to him and he's going through his reads and he's finding these guys and you saw the short passing game that gave Todd Bowles defense fits, it's very impressive.
There's so much talent on the Rams roster. It's very balanced for the most part. I think when you look at all three phases, offensively, defensively, and with special teams, I think this is a very, very balanced team, but their defense is what makes them really dangerous. Their defense. You're talking about the number one defense in the National Football League. Did you know that? Paul,
did not.
Number one defense in the National Football League in terms of yards per game and yards per play. And, oh, by the way, number two in scoring defense, giving up 19.2 points per game. You put those two things together right now, you're the number one defense in terms of yards given up and number two in terms of points given up.
Think of how bad they made Russell Wilson look two games ago when they sacked him six times held Seattle to 16 points. And we know how good Russell looked against the Cardinals on Thursday night. The Rams made him look real pedestrian.
If you believe in the Saints as a one seed, what's interesting about what you're talking about with the Rams, there's a very good chance playoff week one is the Cardinals going right back to Los Angeles. They finished the season at L.A. Right now, if the quote-unquote playoffs were today, it would be Cardinals at Rams.
Really?
So you would have Cardinals at Rams week 17, wow. Cardinals at Rams week 1 of the playoffs, just like that. And that's a scenario that could easily play out. Seattle's on Monday Night Football this weekend at Philadelphia. Guess where they would go week 1 of the playoffs? They would be going to Philadelphia in week 1. And then the one caveat to all this is, what does Green Bay do? Green Bay 7-3, a 3 seed, and they're the one team, maybe even Philly to an extent, where home field advantage could actually matter, because even though we have zero idea about fans, if you go to New Orleans, at least you're in a quiet dome. You go to the Rams, you're in a quiet dome. You go to Green Bay, you still have to deal with the weather based on whatever your team can do. So that'll be one thing. And so right now, the playoff picture in the NFC, as long as you assume the Bears are out of it, which you can't because they're only a game out of it, but gosh, it's hard to assume they're going to go on a run. But the playoffs, it's almost like it's set 1-7. Now, the NFC East is so weird. You're battling for the number 3 pick in the draft and first place every week. That's what's going on in that division. It's so bad.
What you don't need is a bad weather game in a cold weather city in January. Right now, you're not only playing for the playoffs, you're playing to try and get one of these games with climate control. Because the Arizona Cardinals, a warm weather team going in January to Green Bay and Lambeau, or going to New York and taking on the Giants or Philly and the Eagles, and if you get... you get some sort of ridiculous cold weather game in the teens, look out.
I think we would all take a game in Philly, though. Even though you're right about the weather. Listen, you can't take anybody.
Scares me.
You can't take anybody as a joke in the playoffs.
Right.
But still, it's Philly.
You know what's amazing about it, though? When we talk about the Rams, what is the reputation of the Rams? It's always been what, for the most part? Their offense, right? I mean, Sean McVay.
Right.
I still think of Sean McVay, this young up-and-comer, this young coach who's in his 30s, right? And the fact that he's this brilliant offensive mind, and Jared Goff, and the fact that now other organizations are pairing young upcoming coaches with young quarterbacks. Isn't that right, Steve Keim? This is the model suddenly in the National Football League, and yet it is the Rams defense that makes them special right now, and to me makes them the favorite to win the NFC West.
And Tom Brady said after the game, they were tough to hit for the chunk play. They were tough to hit for the big play. They keep everything in front of them. They have athleticism. They have a bunch of linebackers you've never heard of that fly all over the field, guys wearing numbers in the 50s. They've revamped and hit the reset button in that position group, plus the defensive line with Aaron Donald, and they hit on some of these young DBs. Yeah, it's a no-name defense that gets all over that field sideline to sideline.
It is interesting. The only thing they did poorly last year is not overcome losing in the Super Bowl. They still went 9-7. I think everybody forgets the Rams were 9-7 last year, and into this year's playoff format would have made the playoffs as a 7 seed. So it's not like they've fallen off the face of the earth totally. Hey, keep listening in the next beautiful part of the program, because our listener still has about 2 minutes left, but he has not called yet. So you might be able to steal a grill. If you want to make it easier on yourself to take part of the ultimate virtual sports tailgate, you can win at 8:30 today just simply by texting GATE to 620-620 and be listening at 8:30. That's text GATE to 620-620. It's all brought to you by Four Peaks.
Let's go, Josh.
Now it's time for Character Counts. We do it every Tuesday morning at 7:40, and it's brought to you by Parker and Sons Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. And let's go out to the West Side.
Yeah.
Millennium High School catcher and middle infielder Emma Bolin was just a few games into her 2020 softball season when it was cut short due to the pandemic. Now she's a senior, and she might be forced to go through high school without ever experiencing prom because of the same issues we're dealing with now. But that won't deter the 17-year-old. Bolin has been giving back to the community both near and far since she was a middle schooler. She received the Dolphin Award in middle school and the Tiger Award in high school, which are awards given by a coaching staff of her respective sports teams for the player that exemplifies extraordinary character both on and off the field or court. And the high school senior plays badminton at Millennium and has been the captain of that team. She's got a 4.15 GPA, vice president of the National Honor Society, and despite her 18th birthday being in December, the high schooler has already gone on multiple mission trips and was regularly helping with Vacation Bible School. And on a couple of those mission trips, Bolin and her group helped feed the homeless, cleaned out houses, and cleaned the beach for Habitat for Humanity. She also volunteers for Feed My Starving Children. What are you doing?
Oh, my gosh. I am a miserable loser.
Wow,
and Emma.
Emma
is a star.
That is awesome. God bless you, Emma.
I mean, 18, not even 18 yet. And yes. Look at that resume.
And she has received offers to play softball in college. Parker & Sons Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical congratulate Emma for you advancing to the finalist stage where Emma could be winning a $10,000 scholarship. If you know of any student who deserves recognition from the Doug and Wolf Show and Parker & Sons and a chance to win a $10,000 scholarship, just text CHARACTER to 620-620. Coming up next, one former NBA champion is seeing playoffs in the Suns' future. That's right. He's got a ring and says the Suns are going to do well. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The Arizona Sports Virtual Tailgate.
Virtual Tailgate.
The West Side let us down.
Yeah!
What do you mean, yeah? Josh did not call, and therefore there's an opportunity to win Josh's grill. And you know what? Let's be like Lightning. Since I'm still jacked up that Chris Paul is coming, he's got 2 years left on his contract, so boom. Maloney, hang up on everybody that tried to sneak in too early and take caller number two right now.
602-260-9870.
If you are caller number two, you will win a $700 barbecue grill. Take that for Thanksgiving.
Yum.
You'll also get a custom Arizona Sports cornhole set. And by the way, I don't see the sticker on those boards. I think it's a paint job.
Okay.
It's real. If you haven't seen these cornhole boards, they're very good. I know you don't
have seen it. Of course not.
They're legit cornhole boards. And maybe there is a sticker, but I don't see it. I can't find it. I think it's an actual paint job.
Most people call them bags.
And you get a real life ultimate virtual tailgate experience. Who everybody I've talked to that's been on that has actually enjoyed it. It's a great time before a Cardinals game, before Arizona takes on New England. And if you are caller number two, you've got it. If you aren't caller number two, here's the best way to win. Text GATE to 620-620 right now and be listening at 8:30 this morning, an hour from now, really specifically 45 minutes, for your next chance to be a winner. The Arizona Sports Virtual Tailgate is brought to you by Four Peaks.
No one's gonna take me alive. The time has come to make things right.
Okay, we all remember it. It seems like almost every year over the last 8 years, the Padres have won the offseason, and we mock them for it. Of course, it did work last year. There's the famous quote from Rex Ryan, "We won the offseason," and I think they won four games that year that they won the offseason, according to Rex Ryan.
Yes.
So we all know it's not that important to win the offseason. But doesn't Kendrick Perkins on ESPN's The Jump make you feel good?
Let's talk about the Phoenix Suns. They are winning big time. Getting Chris Paul, adding a guy like Jay Crowder, adding another guy like Etuan Moore, who a lot of people don't value. I'm looking at this Phoenix Suns roster, and they look pretty damn good on paper also.
The Suns are such an exciting team going into this next season. It's so refreshing for Suns fans who have seen that team mismanaged for a very, very long time to be putting the right pieces together both last season and now going into this season.
The other quick voice there was Ramona Shelburne. The voice at the end was Rachel Nichols talking about the Suns and what they've got going. And then, of course, there is a little bit of hype. I hate to say nationally because, listen, people are talking about the Clippers and Lakers rivalry already. They're talking about whether or not Wiseman is going to be able to jump right into the Golden State offense, but now it doesn't have Clay. And that's more buzz. But 8-0 is 8-0.
Yeah.
The only team that went 8-0 in the bubble, and that's why you add Chris Paul to that, there is a little buzz.
You know what's amazing about it? There's a lot of buzz surrounding the Phoenix Suns right now. I heard David Charles Burns, ladies and gentlemen. You know who David Charles Burns is?
I've met him. Had a beer with him.
Burnsy's bookie Ladies and gentlemen, we ought to have that. That ought to be a new segment right there. Burnsy's Bookie.
Wait, you were talking to Burnsy's Bookie?
Yeah, David Charles Burns, as a matter of fact, was talking about the odds for the Phoenix Suns.
Oh, okay.
That there were only four teams in the Western Conference that had better odds to win the championship.
To win the championship?
Four. Four teams in the Western Conference Ooh. That had better odds of winning. They were number seven overall in the NBA. Think about that.
Well, what a change.
I mean, this is That's the way this over. Roster has been remade, ladies and gentlemen. The roster has talent. Does it not, Devin Booker, CP3, DA? It's got talent. The roster has toughness. Does it not, Jay Crowder, CP3, D-Book, Mikal Bridges? This roster has depth, suddenly. And not only that, I would also say the roster has position versatility. There's a lot of flexibility for Monty Williams in this roster.
First off, I want to give a one-bell recantation because I misnamed the one of the greatest reporters of all time in the NBA. That was Jackie McMullen with Rachel Nichols and not Ramona Shelburne. But I love what the Suns have done so far. I admit, draft-wise, there are other guys that I want, but I think a lot of you have heard it. And if you haven't, James Jones saying, I don't care. If somebody has a better career somewhere else. I don't care how you develop with another franchise.
So awesome.
I care how you fit into what we are doing. And he says, Smith is what fits into what we're doing. So that's players that are coming into the Suns. As far as a player that's going out of the Suns or leaving the Suns, whoa. Lacob is the owner. Joe Lacob is the owner of the Golden State Warriors. And point blank, he is one of the best owners in sports. Not in the NBA, in all of sports. Don't believe me? He's spending millions upon millions of dollars to test fans on their way into the game. So they can have fans at Golden State games this year because he knows they have a great fan base and he knows they make a difference in winning because they are, and if you don't believe me, they are such great fans. I've heard other players always talking about what it's like to go into Golden State. Now, that's the old building. I haven't talked to anybody about what it's like to go into the new building. But that's how much this guy cares about creating an environment that he's paying for their testing on their way into the game.
Supposedly $30 million. That's what they're spending.
That's crazy. And the Kelly Oubre contract, just so you know, they are so far and above the luxury tax. It's an $80 million contract. No, Kelly Oubre doesn't get all that. The league gets most of the money. But the way the luxury tax works, they have to pay out the wazoo to the league for accepting Kelly Oubre's contract. And yet, they think he's going to help them win, so they do it. So because of that, Kelly Oubre was asked when he had an appearance on 95.7 The Game in San Francisco what it's like to have an owner that's committed to winning. He takes the bait.
You just hit the nail on the head, man. I can play for an owner, you know, somebody who actually cares about you know, the organization and not just the, you know, the perception of the organization on the media end of it.
Boy, that is, that is a shot right there.
Cares about the organization, not just the media's reporting and image of the organization.
You know, again, I believe there's been a paradigm shift in the Phoenix Suns organization. I believe that Robert Sarver understands that he cannot continue to meddle in day-to-day affairs of coaches and general managers. I believe that he's understood that and that that paradigm shift is going to be massively beneficial to the Phoenix Suns. And I believe it started with the hiring of James Jones, and then all of a sudden you had Jeff Bauer as well that was hired. Then you got Monty Williams. These are people that, to me, don't strike me as, I'm going to let you meddle in my business. These are people that had to have some kind of assurances that they were going to have the autonomy, they were going to have the authority and the power to actually make decisions by themselves. And let those decisions stand or fall based on their merit, period.
There were two other things that Oubre had a beef with on his way out. You've seen the Valley jerseys, the new jerseys. Well, Kelly Oubre was traded very shortly after doing a photo shoot. So there is a photo shoot of Kelly Oubre wearing his new Valley jersey and then getting traded after putting the jersey on.
Of course not.
What's he talking about? He's upset that they didn't let him keep the jersey.
Of course not. They didn't let me keep that, man. That was, it had my last morning, but they're going to take the stitching out and give it to CP3.
Man, I love Kelly Oubre Jr. I'm going to miss him. There's no doubt about it. I was disappointed. I was disappointed that somehow, some way, he didn't find a way to get out on the floor in the bubble.
Amen.
There's no doubt about that. I was sure that he was going to play. And to me, I think the Suns thought he was going to play. Robert Sarver famously, of course, was quoted. I forget what show he was on, but he was
on Burns
saying,
and Gamba.
Yeah, he's going to play.
They expected him.
We expect him to play.
Because it was the only four-month meniscus surgery in the history of sports. I mean, I can understand why Robert said that.
This is why the whole thing, too, about the rehab thing, and he had to do it from home, and it was the pandemic and everything else. Ladies and gentlemen, the rehab on that, go ahead and YouTube it. You have any idea what you can learn on YouTube right now?
We learned that
seriously.
Yesterday.
We did. It's unbelievable. You've got some plumbing you need fixed. I'm never going to
do
that.
Wait. You can't learn how to do the meniscus surgery on YouTube, can you?
No, but okay. The rehab for it. I mean,
don't try this at home.
Do you think the Suns were in contact with Kelly Oubre Jr. talking to him? Emails. This is what you've got to do. You could do it all at home yourself on a lot of this stuff. I just never bought that on a meniscus. I never bought that. And then the fact that supposedly, and I've been told by people that were down in the bubble, he was working out 5-on-5. He was actually playing, scrimmaging, doing fine. He just didn't play. And we hear that it was all mental. That's the reason why he didn't play.
I think he would have been traded no matter what because it's Chris Paul.
Listen, I can't tell you how many times I've seen a guy that had a hard time getting over it, but it only lasted for a week or two. A week or two before he could trust the fact that his knee wasn't going to fly out his butt, for lack of a better way of saying it, right? You have to get over it. Everybody does. But, man, it doesn't take months. It shouldn't on a meniscus.
The Rams just made the NFC West tougher for the Cardinals. So what do they have to do this weekend to keep pace? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Burns and Gambo.
Coming out of the Seahawks game, the Cardinals are looking to rebound from their worst rushing performance of the season.
So is the key to getting the ground game rolling again just as simple as having a healthier Kyler Murray?
Burns and Gambo, afternoons, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Ron Wolfley here from my brothers at The Joint Chiropractic. Go to thejoint.com for The Joint Chiropractic. What is it you want to do, right? Do you want to start working out again? You've been a little sedentary, maybe, and pain has been holding you back. Well, maybe if pain is holding you back, you need to go see the Joint Chiropractic. Get that adjustment. I can tell you right now, you're going to feel fantastic. And they have a new patient special, $29 new patient special that includes a consultation, an exam, and an adjustment. All you need to do is visit thejoint.com. You're going to find out they have 30 basin locations, ladies and gentlemen. There's sure to be one close to you. Go to thejoint.com. And what I love, you don't need an appointment. You don't have to do that. You can walk right in off of the street. You can show up in the Joint. They're going to take care of you. No insurance. They're open evenings and weekends. You need to go see the Joint Chiropractic. Go to thejoint.com for the Joint Chiropractic. That's thejoint.com for the Joint Chiropractic. Your back, baby.